Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mac Attack Show. This is your host, Mac, and I am excited today because I have my better half on the show. This is the special Valentine's Day edition, and I have Phaedra McLaughlin. Say what's up to the people, Phaedra.
Hey, whoop, whoop.
Again, this is our special Valentine's Day edition. We love each other. We love you all. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to get right into it. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife, what does Valentine's Day mean to you?
So Valentine's Day is, to me, is multi-layered. The younger me wanted that special attention, you know, flowers on the job, the roses, the candy. The more mature me, the married me, the mom me, understands that all of that is just commercial and a facade and it's not important. So Valentine, but at the same time, I do feel that depending on how you perceive Valentine's Day, it can also be a day of celebrating love. So for me, you know, just taking the time to honor my husband, my children, anyone else, you know, that I deem special. But it's not about all the other stuff, you know. It's not about going broke, you know, spending $300-$400. So it just all depends. I just think that a lot of times we just get so caught up in the stress and the expectations and yeah.
Awesome. So for me, growing up as a little kid, it was kind of a weird holiday to me because a lot of my classmates would come and they'd have all of these candies. They would distribute and they have these cards and they'd be all excited. And in my household, it was just not a big deal. As I got older and started to have girlfriends, it became more of a big deal, especially in high school. Girls would love to flaunt the balloons or the teddy bears that their boyfriends got them. And so in some ways, guys would be trying to one-up each other. So Valentine's Day was really not even in some ways about loving the one you were with, but it was just showing everybody else how much you could spend, how much you had it, how much you were balling. As I got older, it was an opportunity to celebrate special days. In a relationship, there are always special days, and depending on the person, depending on the relationship, it would vary. Now that I'm older, especially from a Christian perspective, knowing who Saint Valentine was, what happened to him in 296 AD, February 14th, and the sacrifices he made for love, I value it even more differently now. I value it better, I believe, because I put in perspective that I have an opportunity to love my wife and to show love, not just on one day throughout the but throughout the year. And it is an opportunity to just remind her, I thank God for the gift of you. I thank God for the gift of love, and I thank God for the gift of marriage. So for me, Valentine's Day is another opportunity to show love to your spouse, to show love to your significant other, and to let the world see an example of God's love towards one another. So I enjoy it. I don't make a big to-do about it, but I do make a big to-do about my wife because she's a joy. She's a jewel, and I thank God for her.
Aww, thank you, babe.
Thank you. So how can a mate make Valentine's Day or any other holiday, birthday, or special day extra special?
Well, I think you have to, whatever you do, you have to do it so that you're catering to them, and not do it for yourself. Because if you're giving gifts that they don't want or doing things for them that they wouldn't want, then it's just kind of like you're just going through the motions. And so I would say that's when, you know, knowing a person's love language is really important so that you are, you're doing something and celebrating and, you know, encouraging or whatever the case may be, loving on them the way that they need to be loved. And then that's what makes us special. What's special for someone else may not be special to me, and vice versa. And so that's why you have to cater the gifts that you're giving to that person, make it specific to that person. And I think that taking time and putting the time and the thought and the energy into whatever it is that you do is going to make it special. Even if it's not exactly what they would want, but just knowing that you took the time and it's clear that you took the time, and that you gave the best that you have. I like to say, you know, if you can afford a hot dog, then give me a hot dog. If you can afford a steak, then give me a steak. But if, you know, don't give me a hot dog if you can afford a steak. Like, don't give me your second best. So whatever you give, if you're giving the best that you have to give, or as Anita Baker says, I'm giving you the best that I got. I love that song. If you're giving your best, then I think that's going to make it special.
Amen. That's why I love this woman. She loved it when I gave her ramen noodles back in the day when we were courting. And she's still here. We're still together. So thank God. Amen. Amen. But to your point, context is everything. Fellas, if she doesn't like roses, don't buy roses. Mm-hmm. If she doesn't like chocolate, don't buy chocolate. You know, do what works for you. And everybody's different. And please, above all, please, don't do for the next one what you did for the ex. That can get you in a world of trouble. Certain things will start to cause red flags. And the person will ask you, why do you insist on doing this? And if you say, well, I thought most people like this. Well, who is most people? So know the person you're with. And a lot of that comes from communication, paying attention to details, and trusting the person when they're vulnerable with you, that this is the real deal. Don't just assume based on what your boy says. Also, don't listen to everybody else. Talk to your mate. Don't listen to everybody else, because people will tell you to do this and do that, and you'll be way off the mark. So know who you're with. So I want to ask you a question. We're in an age where I don't even know if you hear love songs. You love stories. I don't see them on TV. I don't watch a lot of television, but you just don't see it. So it makes me feel like media may be a reflection of society. How do you feel about the current state of love, and specifically, or in particular, black love?
That's a very, very, very deep question. As an artist myself, you know, the saying is that art imitates life. So what we see reflected in music, in film, whatever the case may be, oftentimes is a reflection of what's actually going on in relationships. You have people now who don't want to get married. You have people now who they you know, celebrate divorce and breakups. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, if you had a really rough marriage, I can understand celebrating it. But we live in an age where marriage is not celebrated, it's not even desired. Like I said, a lot of people avoid it like the plague and don't even want to get married. I personally feel like songs these days, they're not love songs, they're sex songs. We were watching a comedian. Who was that comedian? On Black-ish. And he was talking about how back in the day used to be songs like Jodeci, and they'd be like, you know, I'll love you and I'll give you the world. What was that song with the, I'll give you the moon, the stars, the moon, the stars, the mountains.
After Seven, Ready or Not.
And then he said, now it's like, I'll give you this D. Anyway.
We watched the sanctified version, folks. I just want to clear that up. We watched the Holy Ghost filled version of Dion Cole's stand up. So Yeah.
Hey, look, we're human. We're real. But anyway, the point is...
Jesus saves. I just want y'all to remember that.
Anyway, the point is that everything is just... We live in a hyper-sexualized society and culture. And I personally, I think it's even more prevalent in the Black community. I'm at the point now where I don't even like listening to Black songs. I mean, either I just listen to gospel or listen to, white songs. Because every song is just about sex. Every single song. And of course, there's nothing wrong with sex. Not when it's, even in the songs when they're talking about sex, it's like the degradation of sex. It's not a beautiful experience, like, making love. It's just, it's just really, and it's also uncomfortable as a woman. The misogyny, and it's just too much. It's just gone. It's just too much. That would be a long conversation to really get into my feelings about it. But I do feel that as Black people, Black love, I just feel that we are lost when it comes to Black love. And I don't know if that can be attributed to the fact that, our ancestors going back, several hundred of years, were not allowed to get married. Their families were stripped from them. We had breeding farms. I mean, they were specifically forced to just have sex to procreate. So I don't know if that, going through that and being the ancestors of that and having that post-trauma, on our, I guess, future, or having generational curses, although I don't like to say that. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I do feel that we are lacking empathy. We're lacking love. And I don't know if it's because we haven't fully seen it.
Wow, you said a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say one thing in regards to the attack on families. As you mentioned, slavery. Statistics, history books, whatever you want to read, it all shows that this has been going on for centuries upon centuries. And one of the key tactics used was systemic oppression or manipulation of the Black male. And we've seen that leading up to as far as even now. There are things done to demean, emasculate, and separate the Black male from his family, whether it be mass incarceration, job opportunities, and so many other things. What I do find interesting today, and not to go too far off topic, I see more and more systemic attacks at the Black female. And so many young ladies are becoming more and more lost as to what being a wife, being a mother is. And so we, as a people that know the truth, who know about love and the value of love, especially godly love, we have an obligation to teach others, not only love one another, but also, I believe, to share the good love or share the good words with somebody else. We don't share our love because we exclusive over here. Ain't that right, babe?
Yes, amen.
Amen, amen. So, speaking of exclusivity, when people use the term date, it's often suggested that you're seeing multiple people at one time. And we're Christians. I'm a pastor. You're a first lady. I wanted to get your opinion. Should Christians date?
Yes and no. So I think, to me, the definition of dating is going out with a person, point blank period. You're going out. Now, courting is purposeful. It's intentional. You have identified this person as someone that you want to get to know better, with the intention of eventually getting married, getting engaged first, and then getting married. So how do you get to that point of identifying the person that you would like to court? Going on a date, going out with them, I think it's okay. But even the dating, the way that you date should be holy. You can go on group dates. You can have the accountability partner go out with you, quote unquote, a chaperone.
Although, so you wait, know, no Netflix and chill?
No. Yeah. Well, again, yes and no, but with boundaries. You can do Netflix and chill as long as you're not chilling by yourself and there's other people in the room with you. It's not at night. Is there no sleepovers?
She's so saved, y'all. She don't know what Netflix and chill is.
Oh.
Go ahead, babe.
Oh. Well, no, I don't know what that means, but anyway, so I think that, you know, you have to have boundaries and things in place, but also to protect the relationship, because you don't want the relationship to become soured. But anyway, so I do think that it's okay to date. You know, dating has its place, even within a marriage. Once you get married, you can still date one another. I don't say, oh, my husband and I are courting. I say my husband and I are going on a date. So dating is just that, is going out to a specific place, enjoying one another's company. But courting is purposeful. And I think that, you know, here's the other thing with dating. Dating doesn't have to include sex. Often it does, but you can go on a date with multiple people. That doesn't mean you're having sex with multiple people. But yeah, I do think that there's definitely a difference between the two.
Shout out to all grandparents and babysitters everywhere that help married folks like my wife and I
go on dates.
Don't know where we would be without you. God bless you. Lord knows. Amen. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. So courting is crucial for those who are at a season in their life where they feel called to marriage, because there is such a thing as a gift of singleness. But when you feel like God is calling you to marriage and you want to be intentional, like, hey, I'm not playing around. I'm not trying to be out here on Christian Mingle, Tinder, swiping left and right all the time. No, I'm trying to be serious. And when I see someone for a certain amount of time, it's because we're considering getting married. So, yeah, that's what's up. And I think that'll save people a lot of stress and a lot of drama from dealing with, you know, exes and a whole bunch of other stuff. I ain't calling people out, but as a pastor, I see it all the time. Baby mama and baby daddy drama is real. It is real. It is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. And so while, you know, children are a blessing, there are some headaches and some frustrations and drama you do not have to deal with. If you keep yourself, protect yourself, and don't open yourself to everybody, and I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually, physically, all that, then God will take care of you and align you with whom you're supposed to be with. Now, whom you're supposed to be with, let me ask this question. Do you believe that everyone has a soulmate, that one person that God intended them to be with, or are certain people, they're compatible with a certain type of person, and there are multiple people out there that they could marry?
I do think that there are multiple people that you could marry.
But nobody better than me. Shit.
Right.
So one of the things that keeps our marriage healthy is I keep her laughing. So, you know, if your lady likes to laugh, tell some good jokes, fellas.
Yeah, so, I forgot the question.
Don't even worry about it. It's already been established that...
I want to answer it. I just forgot. You made me laugh. Made me lose that train of thought.
The question was, do you believe in soulmate, person, mm-hmm. or certain people are compatible with other people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do believe that there's a person for you, maybe in the season that you're in, like, you know, at this exact moment. It could be someone that God has for you in that moment. However, if that person or you don't act on it in that moment, God will raise someone else up, or raise, you know, raise you up for someone else at a later point in time. So I think it just all depends on whether or not you are obedient at that particular moment in time. But the main reason I don't believe that there's just one person for us is because then that would mean that people who are widowed or have, you know, go through a divorce, that they will never, there's no hope for them to ever get married again. And also, I, you know, just based off of scripture, I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where God has said there's one person for you, find that one person. So I think that we're all created in God's image. We all have, at the root of being our best selves, we all have the best reflection of God, at the core of who we are. And I think that that could be compatible with, you know, numerous people. It's just, again, just all depends. Compatibility is multifaceted, because it's not just about how you all mesh as far as your personalities, because that is just a friendship. But beyond that, you also have to share ideologies, future goals, wants, desires, and so there's a lot to it. And, you know, I don't think that it's just, I don't think that God would just put us in this small little bubble and say, you know, you can only be with this person. We have, this is such a huge world with so many people and many opportunities. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like, once you get married that, you know, you're supposed to, you know, just get divorced and be like, oh, I'll just, God will give me another husband. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that there can be more than one person for you. It just all depends on who God calls at that time.
Yeah. So my reply is more of, yes, I do believe that a person or people can be compatible with multiple people. There may be someone in Oakland, California, that if you all met and it was godly ordained, you all could be married. Mm-hmm. There also could be somebody in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that you are compatible with, and you two could be married. And a lot of it also depends on the temperament. If you are a person that's patient, understanding, willing to compromise, trustworthy, and willing to communicate, I personally believe your range or possibilities are open. If you have to have things your way, and if somebody has to be a perfect fit for your profile and things of that nature, then that window or that listing is smaller and smaller. So I do believe that God ordains people to be together, and they're soul ties and you're connected. But I also believe if you are the type of person that has done the necessary things to be equipped and to be a good spouse, that there are multiple people that God could connect you to. And I know this is going to challenge some people, because some people are going to say, well, no, there's a perfect one for me. Hey, it may be a perfect one for you. I'm not arguing against that. I just believe there are other people as well that could have loved you just the same. And who knows, like you said, it's for different seasons in your life. Just know this, whatever season you're in, whoever you with, give them the best that you got. Love them with all you have, whether it's Valentine's Day, anniversary, birthday, just a regular Tuesday. That's the main thing, and that's the point of this episode. We're almost through. Just wanted to ask you. So people often ask the question, you know, what are some keys to a healthy relationship? And people, a lot of people have their theories. What would you say are your top five keys to a healthy relationship?
I don't know. I would have to think about that. Why don't you answer the question? Let me think about it.
All right, so I'm going to try to give you five. One is trustworthiness. And I guess it's connected. You have to be trustworthy and you have to trust that person. Is that one or two? Would you say that's one?
One.
Okay. So you have to be trustworthy, which means you have to be faithful and you also have to trust that person. Communication is so clutch. Whether it be open, sharing things, and also in every relationship, it's inevitable there's going to be a fight. But there's a way to fight fair, mm-hmm. and then there's a way to fight extremely dirty. And once words are said, you can never take them back. You can say, I'm sorry till I'm blue in the face. But with your communication, if you, you know, are more open to saying, well, you know what, maybe I should do something differently, or I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, or maybe just being sensitive to another person's feelings can help you in that realm of communication. Intentionality. The longer you are with a person, I believe the more you have to be intentional about being romantic, being intimate, being friends, communication, being responsible. A whole lot of things. You have to plan things to build your empire, whatever it is you two are trying to do. So intentionality is a big part of a relationship. Having fun. This may not be one of the top five for somebody else, but I believe every relationship, you two ought to be able to have fun together at some point in time. Even if it's y'all two like to crunch numbers, and during tax season, what's fun for y'all is doing somebody else's taxes. If that's your thing, y'all do that together. If fun for you is playing video games together, you know, that's your thing. But couples need to enjoy each other, because there's nothing worse than a person going home and it being a war zone. You should be able to go home or be with your mate and have a great time. So fun is one of the other keys to relationship. And then last but certainly not least, love. You have to love on the person, which is so many things. The Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13. While that scripture is about Christ's love for the church, it is also a good model for us on how to love people, to be patient, to be kind, to not keep record of wrongdoing, so many other things. So there has to be love in a relationship. And while a lot of people may think that's a no-brainer, I see people getting in relationships for a whole lot of other reasons, like financial gain, or their parents thought that was a good fit, or, you know, they had a box that they needed to check, and this person checked all the boxes for you, so you went ahead and got in a relationship with that person. You didn't really love them, but they fit a profile that you wanted to marry. So you gotta have love. Love has to be in there, and you have to keep love. So those are my top five.
Okay. So I would say, as I was sitting here thinking, communication, of course. Intimacy, respect, sacrifice, unselfishness, which is a cousin to sacrifice, and was that four or five? Are you counting?
Say intimacy,
communication, intimacy, respect. Sacrifice slash unselfishness. Mm-hmm. Oh, and this one's very, very important. It's very, very important to be equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
Equally yoked, I say, aside from the fact that the word tells us that we should be equally yoked, but it's very important that you share the basic fundamentals, not even just about, you know, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, because even in that there's, you know, a babe in Christ, and there's a seasoned saint, so there are degrees to our Christianhood. But even aside from that, if I believe in spankings and you don't, there's going to be some problems when we're raising our kids. And I could go on and on, but it's very important that you are equally yoked and that you share the same basic fundamentals and have the same desires out of life. Communication, again, I think that's kind of self-explanatory why that's important, but I'm going to take it a step further. So when I talk about communication, I'm not just talking about verbally. Physical communication or nonverbal communication is just as important as verbal communication. Even in many instances, people give one another a silent treatment, which is a form of communication, even though you're not saying anything. So that's important. Intimacy, physical intimacy as well as, again, communication. Because communication is intimacy, but it's also not. Like, I communicate with my girlfriends, but I'm not intimate with them. It's not an intimate level of communication. So even though I say communication, there's still, to me, intimacy, which is separate from that. I said respect, just as you said love, and I agree with love. And there's also respect, which is the flip side of that. If you've read the book Love and Respect, then you understand what I'm talking about with regard to that. And even the word talks about men love your wives and wives respect your husbands. So respect is very important. There are certain things that I'm just not going to do because I respect you as a man and as a human being.
That's right. You going to fix those tacos?
Oh, my goodness. So, why can't be tacos?
Never mind. She never saw a baby boy, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
don't worry about
it. I don't. I'm sorry.
No, but I definitely get it. Respect is crucial. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I can't remember the other things I said, but yeah.
Yeah. So, Phaedra, I love you. I've enjoyed having you on the podcast. Anything else you have for the people on this Valentine's Day edition? For those couples about to get married, those married couples, those couples that have no desire to get married, you got anything for anybody?
Just in general, I don't know about the ones who have no desire to get married. I don't know. I mean, if that's how you feel, then, stand strong in that. But for the people who want to be married and are married and want to be in a relationship, I just think that it's very important that you just love on one another. We're living in the end times and life just isn't guaranteed. And I think this whole situation with Kobe really shook a lot of people.
Amen.
I mean, it totally has broken my heart. And I think the reason is because people really understand how fragile life is. And they really understand that that death is inevitable. It's coming. And you don't know when. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour, the time. And so it's important that every moment that you get, that you love on the people in your life. And just be intentional about that. One thing that we do is I make sure that I give you a hug and a kiss when I'm walking out the door, when you're walking out the door. Just because I don't know, if you're going to come back in the door. Or if I'm going to come back. So try to always love the person. And it's not just for relationships. Your family. Just love. That's the main thing I can say. And the second thing I would say real quick is, I try to live by the motto, what would Jesus do? So I think those two things. Just love unconditionally. Love all the time. Be intentional about love. And then, what would Jesus do? So those times when you're mad or upset, how would Jesus handle it? I'm working on that, but, I try.
Amen. It's all right. We all try. And I echo all your sentiments. And one thing I would say to add, I pick with my wife. In fact, a few times I picked with her. I teased her on this episode, but what's most important in a relationship is you build a person up. You don't tear them down. And so I thank God for my wife, who's very supportive. I love you. And I thank God for you. And I want to wish everybody listening a happy Valentine's Day. Even if you don't have a Valentine, you love up on yourself. If nobody else is out there showing you some love, you make sure that you treat yourself right. This is the Mac Attack Show. We're signing off. We love you all. God bless.
God bless.